Come on, wherever you are, just lift your hand and say, Lord, I trust you.
Wherever you are, Go ahead and give God the praise this evening. Let's worship our Father. He's the lover of our soul. He's the one who has kept us with his mighty hands. He's the center of our lives. Oh, Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father. Lord, we give you praise. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. That is why we cannot live our lives outside him. He is the center of everything. He is the one that makes our lives beautiful. He's the center of it all. Somebody go ahead and lift your hands and worship him. Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the praise, Jesus. Somebody come and make melody in your hearts to him. Make melody in your heart. Make melody in your heart. You can sing in other tongues if you can. You can sing in a new song to him. He wants to hear your voice wherever you are. It's like a sweet smelling savour unto the Father. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise, Jesus. Somebody go ahead and lift your hands and worship him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo. We worship you. We worship you. I will keep my mind stayed on you. Is that your confession this evening? Huh. I will keep my mind, Lord, stayed on you. I need to sing it over and over again. Oh, I will keep my mind stayed on you. For you deserve my everything. Oh, Lord, I will keep my mind stayed on you. And this is what you want to do to him. Oh, all I want to do, Jesus, is to worship you. Every day of my life, all I want to do, sing, is to worship you. With your hands lifted high, all I want to do, all I want to do, Father, is to worship you. Oh, Lord, you alone are God. Nobody like a God. You alone are God. Somebody declare you alone. You alone are God. Yeah. Oh, you alone are God. Yeah, you. Your hands, yeah, yeah. I will keep my mind. Father. Our faith is in you, Lord. Yeah, I will keep my mind stayed on you. You alone deserves my attention. Oh, Lord, I will keep my mind stayed on you. All I want to do is to worship you. Sing it one more time.
All I want to do
is to worship you. So we call him, oh God, you alone are God. Yeah, you alone. Nobody else like you, Lord. You alone are God. Yeah, you alone are God. Somebody sing from the bottom of your heart. You alone are God. With the lifting of your hands, declare it. You alone. Go ahead and sing to him. Sing, make melody in your heart. You alone are God. Nobody like our God. Come on, somebody go ahead and declare your love to the Father. He is the Father of all light. He's the God over everything. He's the God over our lives. In him we move, we live and ever be. Come on, somebody, let your worship rise to the Father. He's our helper, he's our everything. Shila la man delia. Singing, you alone not God. You alone not God.
Somebody come and focus on the Father.
You alone not God. Let your worship rise. You alone not God.
For loving of this much, Father, nobody can take your place. Oh,
you alone are God.
And there's no shadow you won't light up, mountains you won't climb up, coming after me. Hey, there's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Oh, there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Oh, there's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Me, oh, there's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. One more time, sing. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Yeah. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear
down, coming out to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down. Yes, fights till you're found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I didn't deserve it, still you gave yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming. He brought us out of the darkness. He made us stand in the light. We are not only forgiven, we now stand with him. We are seated with him. Somebody go in and give him all the praise. For this amazing love, for this amazing love, Jesus. Ramanano shenelia lelinana shenananandi. Ramanosha, somebody go and let your heart bubble with joy. Let it bubble with worship for all the things the Lord has done. For he made us just like him. He made us seated together with him in heavenly places, the place of authority, where we can say, move mountain, and it obeys us. Oh, Rabade, there's no shadow you will light up. Mountain you will climb up, coming up to me. Oh, there's no wall you won't kick down, law you won't tear down, coming up to me. Oh, there's no shadow. Me. Oh, somebody say, there's no one you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming out to me. We can sing over again. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up. Our hearts are overwhelmed. We are overwhelmed by your love, Jesus. That is why we can cry, Abba, Father. That is why we can stand with boldness in the place of prayer, declaring the words of the Lord, making things happen because the Father has made it possible because of your love. Come on, somebody go out, make melody to the Lord. You can sing in other tongues wherever you are. Thank you, Father. Yelamo shelinane lemana sinene yanane. Oh my.
makale linane lelele lelele manene sidananana ndorodo shatalabana.
What he did for us,
we couldn't earn it, we didn't deserve it, still he gave himself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Oh,
Glory to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just still go ahead and let's worship for a few more seconds. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Welcome to church. Welcome to Wednesday service. I believe that you're happy being there. I'm happy I'm here because I know you're there, and just always wonderful to get together. So praise God, praise God. So how has the month been? Yep, this is our last Wednesday service for the month of June, for this month where we've been emphasizing on prayer. Okay, so how's it been? You could drop a comment right there. Okay, it's been great. I've learned something. All right, but just send the message if you can. Maybe tell, you know, a leader around you, this is what I've learned, this is what I've gotten. It'll be great to hear what you've learned. And just in case you have questions, please, all right, give some feedback. I believe the month has been good. I would love to assume that you're praying better. I would love to assume that something was different. Something has been different about you this month. I would love to really believe that. Is that all right? Good assumption for me? Great. So praise God. Now, today and possibly spilling into Sunday, I want to now do, should I still call it a teaching on prayer? Or I've just basically been stirring us up to pray, but just now give a bit of framework, all right, to understanding prayer a lot. So I'm teaching what I call simple but important things about prayer. Someone needs to hear this, all right? So simple but very, very important things about God. Now, prayer, by definition, very many things to different people, but prayer is fellowship. Prayer just is talking to God. Prayer is fellowship, right? Some would say, well, prayer is when you talk to God about your needs. Prayer is when you intercede for people. Prayer is, you know, very many things we could say about prayer, but prayer basically is talking to God. Now, while you're talking to God, you could then talk to Him about your needs. You could ask Him about His plans for your life. You could intercede for other people. You could do very many things, but prayer, that one word prayer, has very many things inside it, and we're going to look at that, you know, so because sometimes when you say you're having a prayer meeting, that might be different from you saying you're having an intercessory meeting. All right, someone says, what's the difference? Aren't they both prayer? Intercession is a type of prayer. A prayer meeting might not have the different types of prayer involved, all right, but an intercession meeting is more like we're interceding. This is why we're here. It's best to know the purpose of a thing. So, for instance, you say we have a prayer meeting, and then the person leading the one-hour prayer meeting, for instance, spends 45 minutes all the time sharing God's word. It's more like a Bible study. All right, or a teaching meeting if we spend too much time on the word than prayer, because the activity in the thing, you know, helps to see what the purpose is. Except maybe, yes, it's a prayer meeting, but the person feels, okay, let me spend this first four meetings enlightening, which I believe is also important, enlightening everybody in the group about prayer, because most people love to pray, all right? Most people love to pray, and then rather than pray, you know, rather than learn how to pray, we just want to pray. So it's better to be enlightened. I guess that's how I want to put it. It's better to be enlightened. So a group leader might say, okay, let me spend the first 1 month teaching everybody. Let's read books about prayer. So that, because you have to pray right. There's the right way to pray. There's a way to go about it. So, you know, you get that. So I'm just trying to say, you know, purpose is important. Sometimes also you say it's a prayer meeting, but it's more of like a prophecy meeting. All right. After praying like 15, 20 minutes, everybody just prophesies till like the next 1 hour. So it's, so it could, yeah, maybe still call that prayer. It's, you know, I guess. All right. But we could just, sometimes in the absence of a name, just say it's a flow meeting. What you guys do, we flow. We swing from prayer to prophecy to ministering to one another. We flow. All right. We fellowship, you know, in the spirit. That might be better than, prayer. Prayer means you pray, means you spend most of that time talking to God. Of course, yeah, God talks back to you, which could also be prophecy. But, sometimes, you know, we could hijack it because prophecy is exciting. So we could do a whole lot of, let's prophesy. So you just always come for the prayer meeting, prophesying on one another. When it becomes a whole lot of that, then I guess it's just really now a prophecy meeting, not a prayer meeting. But we're saying prayer. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is you talking to Him. All right. You talk to Him. So while you do that, all right, you now have other things that happen in that place. It's like two lovers spending time together, a couple, husband and wife. You will talk about the project you have as a family. You talk about the kids, all right, what happened, school, homeschooling, what's going on. You talk about, you know, extended family stuff. You talk about yourselves. You talk about work, all right. So you're not meeting to talk about work. You're not meeting to talk about projects. You're meeting to, you just lay there on the bed together to just talk. And then different things might come up in the place where you're talking. So if you get the point, it's different from, honey, we need to talk about the kids. So that's what we're talking about. That's kind of like we're facing the prayer. It's intercession. All right. It's supplication. All right. We need to talk about the kids. So what's up? What are we doing about the kids? So that's why we're talking. But if it's just flow, I mean, couple driving from where? Lagos to Ibadan, Ijebu to Lagos. You could talk about it in number of things. You could sing. You could do a whole lot of stuff. All right. So it's fellowship. So prayer is fellowship. Prayer shouldn't be seen like a house chore. Like, I'm praying again. But, consciously, it's become that over time. It's become that. All right. Quiet times are quiet. You know, you sleep off while you're trying to have a quiet time. Morning devotions are, you know, scary to a lot of people. But prayer should be exciting. Prayer is you getting to flow with God. You getting to spend time with God. And you need to change the perspective in case you see that, have to pray, you know. It's like when people say things like, do I have to ask God about things I want to do in my life? I'm like, nope, you don't. So I'm saying, hey, good. I mean, I don't think so too. I said, but do you ask your friends about what you want to do by your life? Well, yeah, then it depends on how you view God. Do you view Him as someone that has enough wisdom to guide you? Oh yes, now God is wise. Then just changes the perspective. So you're not going with, I must talk to God before I can do something. No, He knows better than every other person I want to talk to. All right. He knows better than anybody I want to talk to. So even while I talk to other people, so God is not saying don't talk to other people, because Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there's safety. So God doesn't say don't talk to them. In fact, sometimes while you are talking to them, your answer rises up within you. And then sometimes also God puts the counsel, you know, remember Psalm 1, from verse 1, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means, blessed is a man who walks in the counsel of the godly, all right? It says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So two negatives become a positive. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, all right? So the negatives cancel. So it becomes, blessed is a man who walks in the counsel of the godly. So you should have godly people around you who give you godly counsel, all right? Who, not just even give you good counsel, but could give you right counsel. I know it sounds the same, but please hear it. They don't just give you good counsel, all right? Oh, for instance, David said to the prophet, hey, I'm living in a great house, and then the ark is intense. I mean, I want to build God a house. And the prophet said, oh, that's wonderful. Hey, go ahead. Let's make it happen. And then God sends the prophet back to tell David, no, good idea, but not you. All right. Your son will do it. So there was good counsel. I mean, great. Go ahead. Then there is right counsel, not you, your son. So, we have to endeavor. And the only way to give a lot more right counsel is when we're sensitive to the spirit. Bible says the sons of Issachar, all right, they had an understanding of times and seasons, and they knew what Israel should do. All right, they had an understanding of times and seasons. They knew what Israel should do. So some, you know, by the wisdom of God, can decode seasons in the economy. They can decode seasons. All right, Joseph in Egypt didn't come like a prophet. Prophet, you know, he just interpreted a dream. He didn't have to stammer or shake. So God granted him insight, inspiration by the Holy Ghost. So he finds somebody that can interpret. And for real, right, this is a trend of how this is going to be. All right, they don't just have good counsel, they can give right counsel. All right, now, does it mean you now throw all of your life on them? No, you still have to run things by the Spirit. You just check. All right, this person gave me great counsel by just perceiving my heart that this is not what I'm expected to do about it, that God is asking me to do something else. So I'm saying there's good counsel and then there's great counsel. All right. I mean, good and right counsel rather. So it's good. Good. So blessed is a man that walks in the counsel of the ungodly. Counsel of the godly rather. So you should have godly people around you. Godly people around you, right? They will give you good counsel. They will give you right counsel. They will give you wise counsel. But prayer now allows you to fellowship with God himself. What else are we looking for? All right. So imagine talking to God and then talking to people. So, and then God created both. It's like when 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20 says, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. 1 John 2, 20. You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. All right. So, hey, you know all things. 27 now says, the 1 John 2, 27, that the anointing that you have received abides within you. And you need not that anybody teaches you anything, but that anointing within you will teach you all things, right? The anointing you have received abides in you. You need not that anybody teaches you anything. You need not, all right? The anointing will teach you. Because someone says, well, that means I don't need a teacher. No, God is not confused. The same God that put an anointing within you to teach you things is the same one who in Ephesians chapter 4 said, I give gifts, all right, of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So God puts an anointing within you, then he puts teachers around you. See how it works? Puts an anointing within you, puts teachers around you. So in a combination of both, all right, you're safe. You're well guarded and guided, all right? He puts men so that if you say, oh, I think I pick this direction from the Spirit of God, these men could come up and say, well, you might need to interpret it better. That's why even 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says that when you prophesy, someone could, you know, judge. Someone sitting by could judge the prophecy. It's not judge you. No, it's not. No, it's the accuracy, the precision. Why? Because we receive it, all right, in a very, very pure format, but it could be easily tainted by our thinkings, our backgrounds, our exposures, and all whatnot. So you and I have got to get that. But what's he talking about? Prayer. Prayer. Prayer is beautiful. Prayer is you and I spending time. Prayer is you and I spending time. Prayer is you and I spending time. With who? With God. Right? While we're doing that, then we let, you know, our needs, you know, be made known to him. Then we spend time in adoration of him. Then we spend time, you know, just praying about the needs of other people. Spend time getting direction. But basically, it's fellowship. All right? We could say, oh, but prayer is warfare. No, prayer is not warfare. The essence of prayer is not warfare. Paul says, but no. Listen, questions should always be, how was it in the beginning? All right. So when God fellowshipped with Adam, what were the needs Adam had to talk about? Adam had no need. All right. What were the people Adam had to intercede for? Nobody Adam needed to intercede for. All right. So what was the warfare Adam had to do? None. So you find that most of what for us prayer has become right now were not the purposes of prayer back then. I'm using the word prayer to substitute right now the word fellowship. Adam had fellowship with God. So what were they talking about? All right. What were the needs? What were they discussing? All right. So majority of prayer is fellowship. So you find Jesus also, you know, spending time. He would go like we looked at last Sunday. All right. He would spend time you know, on the mountain, wake up early in the morning. So are we saying that every time he had to do warfare and intercession? No, he said in John chapter 5 and 19 that my Father shows me things. I can't do anything except what I see my Father do. That means in that place of prayer, they spend time in fellowship. Him and his Father together in fellowship, in sweet fellowship, in good fellowship. And that's one important thing about prayer. Prayer is fellowship. All right? By being born again, we are being called into fellowship. Is that all right? So I'm saying all this to lay the foundation. So I'll spend a few minutes now and establish from Bible, you and I have been called to fellowship. We've been brought into a family. You are not an outsider. All right? So we're going to clear that. That's why I said what we're teaching today spills right into Sunday. So there's no need to rush, but you got to get it. All right. So you are not an outsider. In the book of Mark, all right, the fourth chapter of Mark, Jesus tells a parable, the classic parable of the sower. So, hey, he explains it to everybody. They all get up, they go home, but they didn't understand what he said. So thank God the apostles, the disciples could ask him questions. So let me quickly open my Mark now, chapter 4, all right, and then, yeah. So in Mark chapter 4, verse 10 of Mark 4. And when he was alone, they that were with him, all right, together with the 12, asked him about the parable. And watch verse 11. That's verse 10. 11 says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Allow me read these two verses in the Amplified, all right? Let me use Amplified what now? Classic, all right? As soon as he was alone, those who were around him with the 12 apostles began to ask him about the parable. Listen to the Amplified. It says, and he said to them, to you has been entrusted the mystery of the kingdom of God. That is, the secret counsels of God, which are hidden from the ungodly. But for those outside of our circle, everything becomes a parable. Those outside our circle. So that means Jesus is saying here, there's a circle and the disciples, all right, have been brought into the circle. He said, everybody outside this circle, everything is a parable. So when he speaks in parables and some don't get it, those that have to get it are those in the circle. Now that you're born again, you have come into the circle. Now that you're born again, you have come into the circle. All right. Jesus, by his death, burial, resurrection, has now united all of us into one family, one divine, all right, one holy, and then one godly family. All right. So you need to get that. You are not a stranger. All right. Ephesians in chapter 2 of Ephesians, all right, makes that also clear. Ephesians 2, and then where are we headed? Yep. So we look at what now? Alright. Well, I could just pick it from 11. It says, remember therefore, NLT. Alright. Ephesians 2 and 11. Alright. It says, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. Very clear language. Alright. You are not an outsider. Don't have that. God can answer some people. He doesn't have time for me. God will listen to some people. He might not really listen to me. No, you are no longer an outsider. If you're born again, it means you're blood washed. It means you've been brought into this family. You've been accepted. You are not an outsider. All right. So it says, but don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews who were proud of your circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. You lived in this world without God and without hope. Note the past tense, please. Verse 13 says, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. You were far, but now you've been brought near. You are no longer an outsider. So prayer is what you should do. Prayer is what you have a right to do. You have now been brought into the family. That's who you are. A family member. A family member. All right. 1 Corinthians. All right. And, you know, the first chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the 9th verse of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. All right. Says, God will do this For he is faithful to what he says. He has invited us, he has invited you into partnership with his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I'll read the King James of this. All right. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship. God is faithful, by whom you were called. So you've been brought into a union. You've been brought into a family. You've been brought. So in that place, you talk to the father of the family. You talk to the father of the family. You talk to him. He's your daddy. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul is praying in Ephesians 3. And I want you to see what he says here. All right. From verse 14 of Ephesians 3. He says, when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. All right. So he says, I pray for him. All right. I pray from his glorious, unlimited resources. He will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. All right. I'm trying to read NLT, but King James was playing somewhere in my head. So let me just go straight to the King James. For this cause or reason, I'll bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 15 says, unto whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. NIV, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives his name. See how God is referred to. Father. So he says, there's a family in heaven, there's a family on earth, and all families derive their names from him. You being born again have now become a bona fide child of God. God is waiting to hear you pray. We began this teaching, this series on that. All right. If there's anybody who doesn't want you to pray, it's the devil. He knows the power of prayer. He knows what prayer will do to you. He knows what prayer will do for you. He knows what prayer will do for the people around you. So he wants to stop you from praying. But God's eyes are upon the righteous, like we looked at when the series began, and his ears are open to their prayers. So you are a child of God, and then you ought to give attention to fellowship. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to him. All right. So praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I believe that introduction. Yep. Introduction. All right. Has helped you. All right. So prayer basically is fellowship. Don't get too carried away with the technicalities of prayer. And I think that's one of the things that this teaching today and on Sunday will deal with for us. So a few things, like I said, simple but important things about prayer. When do we pray? All right. All right. We've answered it, but we'll answer it again. So when do we pray? Ephesians 6:18, all right? Ephesians 6:18, what does it tell us? So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, Bible says, praying always, all right, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So when do we pray? Every time. All the time, all right? When? Every time, you know? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 also says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. So we're looking at simple, all right, but important things about prayer. When do we pray? Anytime. Every time. All right. Last week we talked about the structure of prayer and then the flow of prayer. All right. And we said it's a combination of both that works. If you say, I pray as my day goes, I'll find the time. If you're not too sincere with it, your day could go and then you never found the time. So if you're quite sincere, you know, okay, I must create the time and then you do. Right. Someone else has a structure of prayer and the person's committed to that structure, but you now could be so rigid and say, well, I've done my 30 minutes for today. That's all for today. All right. I don't do anything else. No, then your drive time and everything is used for many other things. So you could add prayer to it. Nothing stops you while you're waiting for a business meeting to start. You just pray in tongues 5 minutes. All right. Just, you know, just thank you, Lord. Halalaba. She gave it like a bone for listen, nobody likes traffic, but while you can't do anything about the traffic, you could make do with the traffic. You could maximize the traffic. Nobody likes traffic. Nobody wants to be stuck. All right. We all just want to get off where we are and get to where we're going, you know, quick, like pronto, you know, but hey, something happens, you're stuck, you could complain for the next like 1 hour, 30 minutes while the traffic is on. Then you make a bad use of it. All right. You could sit there if you're not driving, read something. All right. You could finish up some business and then you could pray. All right. So there's a whole lot we could use, but when do we pray? All right. When do we need to pray? Every time, anytime, pray. All right. So where do we pray? I like this one. Where do we pray? 1 Timothy 2 and 8. Allow me. We're going to do some Bible readings and I want you to take note of this. All right. So 1 Timothy chapter 2 and then the 8th verse of 1 Timothy 2. So King James. Timothy says, 1 Timothy 2, 8. All right. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. So, when do we pray? Everywhere. And I mean, when do we pray? All through the day. Pray without ceasing. Where do we pray? I would that men will pray everywhere. Everywhere. All right. So, where can I pray? I could pray everywhere. All right. So, I'm picking these things one after the other. And I want you to follow as we take them. All right. John chapter 2, 18 to 21. I want you to see John 2, 18 to 21. In John 2, 18 to 21, Jesus said something here. And he was talking about... All right. So I'm supposed to read for us 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. I was just going to quote it because I know you know it. All right. So 1 Corinthians 3, the Bible says that don't you know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? We've dealt with that during this series. All right. How that you are the temple. A temple is a place of prayer. It's a place of worship. It's a place of fellowship. All right. Temple. A temple is a house of prayer. Okay. So John chapter 2, Jesus is speaking to them. All right. And it said, what sign? Right, the Jews said to him, what sign would you show to us that you do these things? And verse 19 of John chapter 2, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll build it up. Then the Jews said, 46 years was this temple in building and you're going to build it in 2 days. 21 says, but he spoke of the temple of his body. He spoke of the temple of his body. He spoke of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, disciples remembered that he said this and they believed the scriptures and what Jesus had said. But please understand that this statement was made in a particular context. He had just finished driving people out. So look at the 16th verse of John 2, 16. And he said unto the people that sold doves, take these out of here. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. All right. Don't make my father's house a house of merchandise. This story in another part of the gospel said, my father's house, all right, do not make it a den of thieves. It's a house of prayer. So you say, oh, he was saying the temple is a house of prayer. So while he said the father's house, I mean, he drove them out of the temple. The temple is the house of prayer. Then he said, destroy the temple. So he switched from referring to the building as the temple to his body being the temple. So Paul now comes and says, your body actually is temple. So where can I pray? Paul says, I would that men will pray everywhere. You know, if you are, but I can't pray. You know, you could even be so decent. You feel, I can't talk to God in the restroom. I mean, you could talk to your spouse in the restroom, all right? And then God is not a physical being. God is spirit, right? God is with you and in you anytime and every, God is with you everywhere. So if you are the temple of the living God, it means whether you're on the plane, in the bus, on a bike, or you're in the bathroom, or, all right, wherever you are, God is there with you. It means you could pray. You could pray. You could pray. You could pray everywhere. And this is important. Some people feel, oh, but I can't pray in a bus. It's too noisy. No, you shut yourself. You shut yourself. You shut yourself. If you have earphones, you could plug your ears. It drowns out the sound. All right. Drowns it out. And then you're more alone. You're more together. You're more together. Just focus and just talking to the Lord. You're more together. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Men could pray everywhere. Where you are right now is everywhere. Could you just karabara kadosa menahada? Oh, fenogodosa minka barakadosa mine kedeke dosa. Eloda bokura bande borokodusa videke bafredogodosa. Eh makapara kadosa. Thank you, Father. You said you will that men will pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you for we are everywhere right now at home. Some on the bed, some sitting at the deck, some wherever we are right now, wherever. And we thank you for the privilege to be able to pray to you everywhere. Oh, thank you for this beautiful privilege that now we are your temple. We're different from when David had to say, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house. David had to go to the house to meet you, or they had to pray like Solomon said at the dedication of the temple, facing Jerusalem. We could not have to face everywhere. We do not even have to face anywhere. Daniel had to pray facing Jerusalem. Everybody had to pray facing Jerusalem. We could lie on our beds. I mean, so parakadoro kinanda. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yes, you can pray everywhere, everywhere. This is the will of God for us. This is the will of God for us. You are now the moving, breathing, walking, talking temple of the Holy Ghost. That's who you are. All right. So best prayer location. Best prayer location. All right. I know some have a dedicated prayer place in the house. Some say, well, I can't pray successfully if I don't pray on the mountain. Some say I need to go to a camp somewhere. So what's the best prayer location? And then you look through scripture, you find different prayer locations. So, but Matthew 6. So in Matthew 6. Okay, Jesus in Matthew 6 says, but you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you openly. So some take this verse verbatim and, you know, just pick it up and say, well, Jesus said, anytime you want to pray, shut the door behind you. I know a particular sect that's what they teach. So in no way do you pray in public. This is what Jesus, you know, this is what the master said. The master said so, but then you find out therefore that the master would be going against what he said because he prayed in public. All right. The whole of John chapter 17 was Jesus praying in the front of his disciples. They heard the prayer. They recorded the prayer. In John 11, he prayed at the tomb of Lazarus, and he said, I am not praying because I want to pray. I'm praying so that they will hear, Father. I'm praying. I mean, Jesus did that. He prayed. In fact, when disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, they heard him pray. And he said, Lord, we want to pray like you pray. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. So he prayed in public. Do you get that? All right. In the Garden of Gethsemane, all right, when he picked Peter, James, and John, all right, and then went further into the garden to pray, he said to them, my soul is sorrowful unto death. I want you to be with me in prayer. And then he went just, you know, a few feet away from them to pray. They would have obviously heard him when he started the prayer. Then they slept off. All right. So it wasn't that. I don't think they just got there and knocked off. All right. You know, because he came back and said, could you not have watched with me for an hour? So very possibly he prayed that prayer for 1 hour. So maybe they were together with him the first 5, 10, 15, whenever it was. All right. And then they knocked off somewhere. You know, just somewhere along the way. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. But where then is a prayer, best prayer location? So we find that Jesus prayed in the garden, all right, of Gethsemane, all right. That was a prayer location. We find him, Bible says he rose up a great while before they, you know, spent time on the mountain in the evening. All right, we find him talking about the closet. So basically the issue here is you learning the closet really is you. You are the temple. So you are now the house of God. So when you are praying, shut yourself, shut your mind, shut yourself off distractions. If you can't get a private place to pray, you could be in a bus and then everybody's around you, but it's just you and the Lord in prayer. I've had to be in a bus. I had a period of sitting nearby the window, and then you just, you know, put your hand on your, you know, leg, and then you like face outside, but I'm not looking at anything because my eyes are closed. And then you go, and then I'm praying, you know, back then, you know, riding on the bus, you know, you could just rest your head on the seat in front of you and pray, you know, and then sometimes, you know, which most of the time is what really happens, I'm praying, I just, I think you might know this person beside you looks at you and you don't mind, you know, just sometimes you don't want to create any extra attention, not because you're ashamed or shy, no. We're not ashamed, all right? So you could just pray. So what's the best prayer position? Best prayer location, rather? we find that even Jesus does not have a permanent position, a permanent location. I'm switching. Position is the next point we're dealing with. So you find that Jesus did not have a permanent location. He prayed everywhere. All right. So we've dealt with that on everywhere. So he could pray everywhere. Jesus could pray everywhere. He prayed everywhere. You know, but is it okay to have a dedicated place to pray? Yes. And truth is, when you're so used to it, you might find it difficult to pray anywhere else. All right. So you need to also learn flexibility. Okay. Because you might travel for work. You might travel for conferences. You might have to be somewhere for 3 days. God might have to, you know, ask, move your family somewhere temporarily. You know, different things. And you just keep feeling, I can't pray. It's not, I'm not used to it. No, you pray because you are the house of prayer. Thank God for the place and how you've arranged it. And listen, you could pray in a place so much that stepping there, the atmosphere there is charged. Someone could be sick and walk into that place and get healed. They could bring someone not feeling well and lay the person there for quite a while. The person gets up stronger because you've saturated the place with prayer. All right? Because the anointing is tangible. The anointing can rest on materials. Don't forget, Acts 19 said, handkerchiefs and aprons were taken away from Paul. He laid hands on them and they took them away. So while you're busy praying in a place, even the cloth you pray with could be soaked, not with sweat, but just, it's tangible. It's tangible. It's just tangible. You know, so we being spiritually literate would understand that, yes, the place where we spend ample time in prayer, you know, has some energy there. Has some energy there. Really, it does. All right? You know, even the cloth sometimes you could wear on a retreat could carry so much energy about it. Because, you know, I mean, the woman with issue of blood touched the hem of Jesus' garment. So if anything happened to Jesus, then what happened to Paul? All right? And they'll find that the anointing seems to be able to rest on material things. All right. The anointing can rest on cloth. I remember R.W. Schambach. All right. Great, great preacher. Great preacher. R.W. Schambach. All right. He had told people that, all right, maybe this part, a particular session of the crusade or something, they should come with material things. And then this lady said, she has a sister who is in the asylum and they won't allow anything to get across to the sister. And I think she said, but she thinks that they don't mind, you know, anything, something edible. So she's thinking if Schambach could pray over, I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it was just candy, all right? Maybe sweets, you know, like chocolate. Yeah, I think it was candy. And he said, okay, go, let's join faith together, woman. And then he prayed over candy and then she gave her sister candy and the sister got healed, eating candy. All right. We know it wasn't a candy. It was a fact that Bible has shown us that the anointing can rest on material substance. All right. There are meetings where, all right, the microphone seems to be so charged with the power of God. All right. So you hand the microphone over to someone else. The person holds the mic and falls on the power, you know, just is full of the Holy Ghost or something. I mean, we've seen these kinds of things happen. So the anointing can rest on material. So I'm saying all that to say the place of prayer could be that charged. I know that. But this is what I'd love the believer to think about. If a place of prayer could be so charged, and it is so charged because you prayed there, how charged do you think you are? Oh, come on, somebody. Come on. Come on. If the place was charged because you were the one there, do you know the amount of charge you are producing? So be more conscious, I beg you, of the charge you carry, of the charge you produce than the charge in the place. Because the place is charged because you are the one there. You are the house of God. You are the temple of the living God. 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, God said, as I said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God. Thank you, Father. And they will be my people. You are the house of God. You carry the charge. You carry it. That's why Jesus, you know, switched in John chapter 2 from chasing them from the physical temple to moving to the temple of his body, because at the end of the day, temple was destroyed in 70 AD. That temple was smashed down. So that is not the house of God. No. Listen, every time you get God, somebody born again, you just got God a new accommodation. All right? You just allow God to get a new house, because then the Holy Ghost can move into that person. Each time you get somebody, but you get someone born again, God just got a new house. God just got a new dwelling place. God just got a new dwelling place. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. But how can there be mansions in a house? It means there are dwelling places. In God's kingdom, there are many dwelling places. We are God's dwelling place. You are the temple of God. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are, you are, you are, you are. You are. You remember the case of Elisha? All right. There was this man that had been, you know, that was dead, and he needed to go bury him. And on going to bury him, all right, his friend saw a band of, you know, people coming, and then they just flung, all right, the body away so they could escape for their lives. And they ended up dropping the dead man's body in Elijah's tomb, Elisha's tomb. And then it touched on the bones of Elisha. And then he came alive. I mean, see the charge. Even a dead prophet, all right, still carry charge. And I'm saying this so that you will be conscious of the amount of charge you have. All right. I mean, Bishop David Oyedepo did something which I know also R.W. Shambach had done before. You know, there was a case there, Bishop Oyedepo. All right. A woman was brought to him. I think it was a woman. All right. She had this mental issue and all. And then he said to her, put her in my car. Let me see whichever devil will follow into my car. You know, it's not about the car itself, but it's about the charge. It's about the person that has sat in the car and the authority the person understands in Christ Jesus. And R.W. Shambach also, great, great dear preacher, has done the same thing before. All right? Said, put her in the car. Let me see the demon that will get into my car. It's just you knowing that, no. Whether it's my car, whether it's my cloth, whether it's my bed, whether it's my bathtub, wherever I go is charged because I carry the charge. I'm the temple. I'm the walking, talking, breathing, moving, living temple of God. God, the living God lives in me. The living God. Oh, come on. Talk in tongues, somebody. Karabasa, terebo. Oh, ma papaya bom predege dos ibadaga. Yeah, stir yourself up. Mena nam brodo do do de bedege bom brodo go duza brodo go do. Hey, ala kasaka. We carry the charge. Mando rapa. Remember what we learned last week. When you talk in tongues, you are fattened by the anointing. You are fattened by the anointing. You are made fat. And it destroys the yoke, removes the burdens. Talabasa, stir yourself up. You make pole potika yalaga. Hey, you advance spiritually when you talk in amakato robotisha. Nando reboto. Man bale balaba leke bomba. Leke bom prada gadoso, ba prada gadaga, bom peregede, ma so so ve so so, belolo godoso fredo godo, bila gabasita, bila gabasa tola bazadanga, belo godoso vereke bufara gadoze boro godoso. Hey, come on, stay yourself, vila pa, stay your para gadoso, bela gaba prada gadoso, mendo koboro, nise se ba prada gadasa, men karagada. Oh, we make progress, we chalabasa. Elaganta, karagaragada. Oh, Pala, we stir up the charge. He that prays in an unknown tongue, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, he charges himself up like a battery. Elaganta, grow your charge level. Grow your charge level. Kole kenda, karagada. You feel dry? You feel drained? Charge yourself up. Pila pata, pale kapata. Pele ketoso, papradata, tenta hata hata. Ele ketoso, pele kotuso, frenda hikete. Frandoso, frendon talagaboso, menta pata pase carabasa, mentora balantalagabosa balagadasa, mantolo gobo, fredo godose berekede, mantori pasante geto bapraragada, mentora basate lagabase gebosa, mantala balabala balabala balaba, neposo so brodo godoso, mentalagaboso, mentalagabasa. Oh, glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. You stir up your charge and learn to do that. Do that from time to time, please. Do that from time to time. Stir up your own charge. Stir up your charge. All right? Because a place where you pray, like we said, I love it. Oh, that prayer place. No, you are the one making the place important. Remember what God told Moses. He told him, remove the sandals from off your feet because where you are is holy ground. What made it holy? God was there. So the place was charged because God charged it up. All right, the place was charged. God created the charge. So in the same way, when I'm in a place, I go there. Ha, ha, ha. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm a peculiar person. I'm a temple. I'm a righteousness of God. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm born again. I carry my atmosphere. Glory to God. Thought is, wow, that place, man, when you get to that place, you need to bind devils. The atmosphere is very demonic. No, no, no. I bring my atmosphere. I carry my own presence. I bring my atmosphere. All right, it's amazing, really, and sincerely. I am not denying the operations of demons. I'm not saying there are no principalities and powers and all, but sometimes you get too conscious of them than you are of your sitting and your positioning in Christ Jesus. All right? From the inception of this ministry in the city of Ijebu, there's been that I could count the number of times. Oh, every demonic something in this atmosphere, every whatever, whatever here, you come with something. You came with a full cavalry, guys. You came loaded. You came with heaven. You came with heaven. Remember when Jesus crossed over the waters and he saw the madman, you know, of Gadarenes? All right, it was the demons themselves that were reacting now. It was the demons reacting. So that means you can step into a place and by your charge, there's a reaction going on. Then you are the one conscious. Ha, demon, demon, devil, demon, demon, devil. No, you step in and they are conscious of you. All right? They are the ones conscious of you. Ah, child of God. Hey, you are come. They should be conscious of you, not you too conscious of them. When you step into a place, tell yourself, I've come. I've come. Like a lion when he wakes up in the morning and roars. And hey, they know, hey, king is awake. Oh, everybody run. All right? Run. So when you step into a place, start with a conscious and don't start with the devil. All right? You are the extension of the kingdom of God. You are the ambassador of Christ. Where you find yourself, kingdom, it's not the kingdom of the devil that God extended. There's the kingdom of God. And the light shines in the darkness. And the light shines in the darkness. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot comprehend it. So we are not the ones trying to comprehend darkness. What kind of demons are in that place? What kind of spirits are in that place? Where there is a need for it, there will be a need for it. It's not every time Jesus had to ask a demon person, a demonized person, so what's your name? How many are you? Come on. There are times he just identifies, you foul spirit, come out. Doesn't start interrogating and, no, we are not the ones to comprehend them. They are the ones trying to comprehend us and they can't. Darkness can never comprehend light. Darkness can never ever comprehend light. So you and I must understand this, guys. All right, you and I must understand this. Wow, glory to God, glory to God. All right, we still are on position, okay? Wow, praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just end on that right now because our time basically is up. Oh, but carry your charge. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm the walking, talking, moving, breathing temple of the Holy Ghost. Wherever I go, God goes. Wherever I go, God goes. Greater is He that is in me. I'm more conscious of the greater one on my inside than situations around me. I'm conscious of the greater one on my inside than the demonic powers around. Oh, in 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Have overcome them. He didn't say we'll overcome them. He said, I've overcome them. Do you think there are demonic operations where your business is concerned? Start by knowing that you have overcome them. Do you think there are demonic operations where your family is concerned? Start by understanding that you have overcome them. You have, not you will, you have. Then you now unleash the power on your inside. But it begins with a consciousness of I have overcome. I have overcome. You have overcome. We have overcome. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We step into the battle as victors already. We step into the battle as conquerors already. Oh, Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be your temple. Oh, back in the day, they had to find a physical, literal temple. But so good to know that we are now the house of prayer. We can now pray everywhere. We can now pray every time because prayer rises up, goes on within us. Prayer, we are now the house of prayer. 247, place of prayer. 247, the place of praise. 247, the place of adoration. 247, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Wow. Hallelujah. Glory. So have a victory conscious week. All right. Have a victory, victory conscious week if you can. I know most of us can. Join me on Spreaker or Google Podcast or Spotify. 7 a.m. every morning, Monday to Friday for the morning faith post. It will charge you up. And this week we're learning beyond Calvary, beyond the cross. As in, beyond the cross. Listen, Listen to it. It will do you so much good. All right. And of course, looking forward to Sunday. Start revving people up, telling people it's hot. It's going to be awesome. We're finishing this teaching, I believe, on Sunday. Well, we should finish on Sunday. All right. And then, hey, so we're going to get it done. Sunday evening, 5 p.m. All right. We're going to have a great time with the Influence of Speed. I believe you've been blessed. I believe you've been blessed. So thank you, Father. Glorious, glorious rest of your week. Bye. Fire.